If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Joining us to celebrate a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday is PFT commenter. And PFT, I am an AWL. I listen to the podcast. Have you stopped celebrating since going to that Monday night game in Cincinnati?
I have not. That was one of the best football experiences of my life. So I've just been watching Jaden highlights all week. I've been watching the All 22. I've been watching my own game film that I took at it. I've just been on cloud. I'm probably annoying everybody with how much I'm just talking about Jaden. I was watching last night's game, and I was like, you know, football is unwatchable when the Commanders aren't playing. It really is. And this is a new experience, or at least one that I haven't had for a very long time. But I'm
enjoying
it. How much
fun you had out there?
I had a great time, B. Mitch. And I think B. Mitch knows I had a great time because I was yelling at him when he was doing his TV hit.
Yep.
On the field. I was like, hey, Dana. Hey, B. Mitch, what's up?
I was trying to let you know we were getting off. We were going to hang out but the people started running you out of there.
Yeah. It's all good. I think I was looking to scream at everybody right afterwards. And I had such a good time after the game going out in Cincinnati and talking to a bunch of Redskins Commanders fans and just seeing the people happy after a game like that was a very cool experience.
You know, one thing I thought was a little strange. The Cincinnati fans are not very, like, mean-spirited because they were like, oh, man, y'all, they were buying me drinks the whole night.
Agreed. Everybody there seemed to be very nice, except There were a couple people around us that were getting a little upset when we kept yelling at them to put Zach Moss back in and to take Chase Brown out of the game, and they didn't really appreciate that. We also jinxed Evan McPherson before he missed that field goal. We said, we're just telling everybody around how great of a kicker he was. He never misses. That's why he used a draft pick on a kicker, and then he missed, and then they were pretty upset with us for that.
Oh, boy.
Dude, it's only three games, and you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, right? But how much fun has it been to watch Jaden? And then I know you well enough. I know you're paying attention to the interviews, kind of everything he says, that he just seems so level-headed.
It's kind of remarkable, isn't it? Like he was happy. Obviously, he was happy with his performance, but he was not like freaking out. He was not letting it get to him. He was he's just kind of a steady dude. And a lot of people say that if you stay medium, you know, I think Jim Zorn used to say that.
Yeah.
I attribute that to him. But Jason really does stay medium, where he can like raise successes and tell it's in his nature.
PFT, what are you in a damn wind tunnel, man?
I think he's playing golf.
I'm outside. I'm on the golf course right now, but it is very windy here in Chicago. And I apologize for that.
No, dude, it's all right. Where are you playing? Like you have achieved a lot in life. Are you like have you joined like a club out there, or do you play public, or what do you do?
Buddy, this is as far from a country club as I could ever be in my life right now. I think it costs $9 to play. there's absolutely no hills out here whatsoever. It is a very, very public golf course that I'm on right now.
Very public.
50 cent per hole?
It's one of those type places, yeah, where it was like you just gotta show up in the morning and you just say, hey, I think I have a 10 o'clock tee time. And they're like, okay, sure, yeah, go out there, whatever. We're keeping it real out here. That's what we're doing. But back to the Commanders. Like, I am I'm very, very optimistic right now. And I'm also in like, big-time defense mode of Jaden, where now I'm reading all the quarterback lists and rankings that they put out, and I'm getting upset if they don't rank Jaden high enough. Like, I am 100% in. And I was listening to some podcast, and they were like nitpicking what Jaden did. And they're like, he's not developed as a quarterback. He's not making any of the intermediate, middle of the field throws. And I'm like, dude, did you watch the game? Did you watch how Jaden was on like third and long? Did you watch him on fourth and short when he was actually throwing the ball downfield to the middle of the field, getting, you know, 13, 14, 15 yards on a third and two or a fourth and two? Like, he's got it all. And I am getting ahead of myself. I can hear myself doing it right now. But I'm very optimistic, especially considering the offense looked pretty good against the Giants as well, with the exception of some penalties in the red zone that he takes. feel for it. But the offense has looked really good for the last 2 weeks. I think it's good. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't continue.
Yeah, and the thing, like, I'm with you. All these people with this, oh, he don't throw to the middle of the field. Who cares? He completed 21 of 23. They won the game. If he doesn't throw to the middle of the field all damn year and they keep winning and they keep putting up numbers like that, I could care less.
I could absolutely care less. It was a great game. The defense is still a concern, but I don't know. Maybe I saw a couple flashes where the defense looked like it had at least made some improvements. So if Dan Quinn could get us up to, like, a 22nd ranked defense by the end of the season, I guess I'll be okay with that, because week one, it looked like we were just going to be the worst. And I did see some, like, incremental improvement.
Talking with PFT commenter here, one half of the Pardon My Take podcast, worldwide, infamous, famous, whatever you want to call them. You said you're paying attention to these lists, right? And B and I actually just talked about this. NFL.com put out their quarterback power rankings, and they had Jaden 17th. I find that I mean, if you're basing on three games this year, that seems ridiculous.
A bunch of crap, JP. And this is what's awesome. We get to participate in the, like, getting mad at list culture now, which it's been too long since we've been able to do that. Like, what were we going to complain about? Like, complaining that Sam Howell was ranked number 26 in the league instead of number 28?
Right. Hey, man, Heinicke deserves 24.
Well, Heinicke deserves to be higher than that. I'll give you Heinicke. But, yeah, right. Being like, Sam Howell should be at least two spots higher than Daniel Jones. That was, like, as upset as we used to get. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going based on what we've seen this year, I think Jaden is top 10 in the league. I don't think he's really making a case out of that. And if we're going what we saw last week, I'd say that you have to put him in the top five. But there's you know, a lot of season left to be played. And, again, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm saying that as I'm currently getting ahead of myself.
I understand that feeling. Do you have any concern? So Jaden really impressed me earlier this week. He said something to the effect of, I don't get too high or too low off any game, and I just look to the next game. And with that mindset, you can't really have a letdown because you're never that much higher. Do you buy that? Do you have any concern coming off Monday night, Jaden versus Burrow? I mean, there were a million storylines in that thing. Now you're out here in Arizona against a 1-2 Cardinals team. Like, this will not be the national spotlight last week was. Any concerns about the letdown?
No, I'm not concerned about a letdown. I think if there is an issue with the offense, it's not going to be about Jaden getting too high and then overlooking an opponent. There are going to be some stumbling blocks. There are going to be a game or two where he doesn't look right and he shows a little bit this rookie rust. I'm sure of that. It happens to everyone. But I don't think it's going to be because he's reading his own press clippings. So I think we're in the clear on that. And I think this week the big story is actually Cliff Kingsbury going back and maybe a little Cliff revenge game. Maybe a little, I would say a little back revenge game too, because he doesn't look like he's the swiftest guy anymore. He doesn't look like he's set any records in the 40-yard dash, but he still knows how to get open in the middle of the field, and the hands still look good. So having a dude like that and Cliff going back to Arizona, I bet this game – so this is no joke. I bet the Commanders' money line to win this game in August when I was looking ahead at our
wow.
season. And I was Man. Like, okay, I love this. I got it at plus 114, which is not great. And then I looked at the odds yesterday, and now they've gone up to plus 145. So I don't know. Can you explain that to me? Somehow the Commanders are bigger underdogs now than they were in August in this game. It makes no sense at all to me.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's interesting. If I
don't know how that worked.
If I had to guess, it's the defense is probably worse than Vegas yeah. expected. That's the only logical outcome to me. They're also just trying to split their hedge on this thing, right? So maybe they just got so much money coming in on the Cardinals, but that doesn't really make a lot of sense either.
That's crazy.
The defense is worse than we expected, and the Cardinals' offense is better than we expected. It might be a combination of those two things that are kind of baked in there. But I think we can win. I don't see a reason why we can't. I'm looking at the schedule right now, and a lot of those L's that I had penciled in have somehow turned to W's after one game. And it was – I don't want to undersell this. It was so awesome after the game going around and meeting all these Commanders fans from – you know, they might be from the D.C. area, some originally from D.C. that have moved out of the area, and just talking to them and how happy they were. And you just see somebody else wearing the burgundy and gold, and you go up, and they got a big smile. You greet them, shake their hand, talk to them, learn a little bit about them. And then in the airport the next morning, flying home, flying out of Cincinnati, just people that would be walking by and they'd see you wearing a Commander's hat and they'd say hi, they'd come strike up a conversation with you. Like, when we talk about how Snyder like sucked the soul out of the community, it's some of the small stuff like that where you don't get to have random reasons, random excuses to be friendly to your neighbor that you see, you know?
Sure.
So I love that experience, and it was so cool. And I was talking about having to build a personal winning culture for myself after Monday night's game. And
sure.
Part of that, there's a lot of stuff that I don't really remember about winning that I hope I'm going to have to relearn. Like, I did not pack a second Commander's shirt to bring and wear in the airport the day after the game, after you've won, you know, walking proudly through another city's airport, being like, yep, we just did that to you. Chiefs fans are excellent at that. They bring multiple Chiefs out everywhere they go because they have to have their celebration shirt on for the flight home. And so I realized that was a weak point in my own game that I'm going to have to step up. But, you know, I think Jaden Daniels is turning me into a winner as well, but I've got to learn how to win.
Well, if I'm ever in town, just reach out to me. I normally have extras. Might be a little big on you, but, you know, you can borrow it.
Yeah, how much are you benching these days, B? Mention you
PFT's
didn't
look low-key jacked, man.
I don't bench.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if your shirt should fit me. I got cold.
Hey, I saw you in the stands, dude. My shirt might fit you like a long dress.
Now I'm just laughing. How happy were you to see – well, dude, I don't know where your seats were. Where were you for the play that sealed it, the Jaden to Terry touchdown? Because I know where I was in the press box. I saw the loft on that ball, and I'm like, oh, he's trying to get to the corner of that end zone. But it was hard for me to see Terry bring it down, and then you see the replays of what was an incredible catch. Where were you, and what was that moment like?
Okay, so I was about maybe in the worst vantage point in the entire stadium to see that play because I was in the end zone. I was second row of the end zone, so down pretty low. On the other side of the field, on the other corner of the end zone. And so all I saw was Jaden drop back. I saw him get smoked. I saw him take a massive shot. And also, shout out Jeremy McNichols for his block on that play.
Yeah.
He's absolutely bulldogged that linebacker that was coming through the B-gap. So I saw all that happen. And then I saw the ball go in the air. And then I don't see anything. I just see the backs of our offensive linemen. I see a bunch of referees running around. But what I hear is the stadium go absolutely quiet. It went so quiet, and then I'm like, did he catch it? That must mean that he caught it. So it took me about 4 seconds to realize that it was a touchdown after he caught it, and I did not see Terry lay out for it in real time, but watching the replays, I've probably watched that replay, I'm going to say maybe 100 times, maybe more than 100, but I've watched it so many times. It was a beautiful throw, beautiful catch. I'm so happy for Terry, too, because Terry might have somebody that can get him the ball and can allow him to maximize his skill set. It took me about, I'd say, 5 seconds, 4 to 5 seconds after Terry made that catch to realize what was happening. And I just knew, like, you know what was a new experience for me? I was so excited when we got the ball back on offense, and I was confident. I was like, okay, well, that's fine that they brought it to a one-score game again. We're just going to go right back down the field. Good, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch this. And that hasn't happened to me for a very long time. It hasn't happened to a lot of people that are listening right now for a very long time. Having that, I always talk about that moment when the ball leaves the quarterback's hands. Do you feel extreme amounts of anxiety, or do you feel excited about what's about to happen? And now I'm starting to feel excited.
You look at the pass, and you look at a lot of things they do in practice, and they do these little drop it in the trash can drill and hit the goalpost. And normally he's winning. And when if you see how much he practiced at putting it right in the right spot, when it left his hands, I knew it was going to be over there. But the ultimate thing is when Terry pulled that thing in, it's just, you know, when Terry touched the ball, he don't normally let it go. So it's not like it's just happening. They work at it.
Yeah, I'm so happy for Terry. I am a little bit. There are some things that give me a little bit of anxiety about this weekend. That's our defense for sure. I think our defense is still a major issue across the board. Our secondary has not looked good. We've gone up against some good receivers, but still, we have not looked good at all. We've looked very bad. That worries me a little bit. And then Austin Ekeler being out, that's going to be a pretty big one for us, I think, because he's been great, whether he's catching the ball at the backfield or he's like that pressure release valve for Jaden, or if he's running back kickoff, because his kick returns with a new dynamic kickoff I think he's been one of, if not the best in the league, at knowing how to hit those holes, where those holes are going to be. So I'm a little bit concerned about him not being in the game. I think our offense is good enough to hang with him. It's just we need our defense to maybe hold him to some field goals or maybe even a stop or two.
All right. PFT, I'm with you. I think the Ekeler loss is significant. But we're about to get very meta right here. I don't know that B, do you know Donnie from Barstool? He's like this world traveler. It's hard to describe Donnie. Maybe I'll let PFT do it. But while you're on the radio with us, Donnie, mm-hmm. who you're playing golf with, is live on YouTube. So I clicked on that link, and Donnie's talking, and I saw you in the background of the shot. It looks like you're wearing, it looks like you're like about to pee in the woods, kind of. It looks like you're wearing Commander's gear right there. How's the round going?
Like I said, this is maybe the easiest golf course I've ever. It's like a giant putt-putt course is the best way to describe it. And when I say it's like $9 around, I don't think I'm joking. I think it was $9 for each of us to play nine holes and just get in, get out. It's a hilarious golf course. So I love this. We are live streaming it. Donnie only brought four clubs and he doesn't have a putter. So he is, I told him that he has to use his 7-iron on the green to putt. But I'm like watching him like a hawk to make sure that he's not taking divots out of there. Because first of all, I don't think that they'd notice if we took a divot. But
look at this course.
Since we're live streaming
that is horrible.
Hold on, Donnie. It appears Donnie's going to the tee. Can we stay with you? And he has a driver, I think. And that's a hell of a tee box. It's very hard to really identify that as a tee box compared to all the other kind of patchy grass there.
It's like a baseball outfield. Okay, so we might be a little delayed on the YouTube, but Donnie just walloped his tee shot. He's got a nice natural fade, and he got a good kick off a tree. So I'm trying to teach him how to play golf, and my best advice to him has been hit the good trees and get
the
good
bounce.
He's a lefty, and so far Donnie is, I think he's like 3-for-3 on hitting good trees and not the bad trees.
I love it, man. Well, dude, go play golf. Hopefully there's a couple cold ones for you, and thank you for making time for us, man.
I'm going to think about you when I'm playing golf today.
I appreciate that, B. Mitch, and I'm going to need some of those shirts because I think I can fill them out a little bit better than you.
All right, got you.
we'll mail you some. PFT, thanks, dude. Have fun.
All right, see ya.
All right, man.
That's our guy, PFT Commenter, joining us on the BetQL guest line live from what appears to be a very public golf course.
Oh, that is.
Somewhere Muni. In Chicago.
That is below Muni right there.
That is.
Like a cow passer that just say, let's put some flags
up. They just put some flags up? yeah, that sounds about right. All right, you are listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.